Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It's often called the fourth wave of the country's addiction crisis. First pain pills, then heroin, then fentanyl, and now stimulants like methamphetamine or meth. Although there are no exact numbers, healthcare providers and law enforcement say meth use is on the rise in Massachusetts. The state legislature has created a commission to further research the drug and possible treatments. Author Sam Quinones says meth use has become more complicated over the past decade, largely because of the way it's manufactured and what it appears to do to the brain. Quinones says the drug is fueling the growth of tent encampments, like the one in Boston near the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. When we recently talked with Quinones, we asked him about this relatively new way to make meth, which does not involve the use of the chemical ephedrine, commonly found in decongestants. After the Mexican government clamped down on ephedrine, Quinones says drug traffickers came up with other ways to produce the drug.
This meth now, really since about 2012-13, has marched across the country because they can make it with all kinds of different commonly available chemicals, and they have access to two shipping ports in Mexico. They can make it in these stunning quantities and drop the price by 80%, generally speaking.
In the book, you talk about a retired Albuquerque police narcotics supervisor who trains police departments about small meth labs. And he told you that meth really hadn't hit New England until like 2018, 2019. So based on that kind of meth hitting Massachusetts 2-3 years ago, what do you think that means in terms of its where we are and its prevalence?
I say an educated guess would be that it's really going to grow, because once markets are discovered, they're rarely neglected, particularly if you have the supply. And I think up in New England, they're finding that that's a virgin market, because y'all never really had much meth up there to speak of until the last 2-3 years.
In your reporting for your book, you met a man named Eric who described really a mental decline after taking meth. And you spoke with others about this and how it seems to exacerbate mental health issues, particularly schizophrenia. I'd like you to explain that.
I was very lucky to meet Eric Barrera in Los Angeles. He described a very serious paranoia that all of a sudden he was certain his girlfriend had a man in the house, and he begins violently stabbing the walls and the mattress, looking for this man. Eventually, there's hallucinations. It's a cerebral decomposition that is rapid, and it never really leaves. These kinds of symptoms have been reported all across the country. As that meth moves across the country, places where they never had homelessness before, now they have homelessness. They have people wandering the streets completely unbalanced. You have the tent encampments begin to pop up. Tents are perfect lodgings for people who are suffering from this kind of meth-induced paranoia and hallucination, because the tent is like this pod of isolation that you can kind of find some refuge in. So that we've been seeing a lot of these tent encampments, not just in LA. Of course, you've got them in the Mass and Cass area of Boston. None of this used to happen with the meth that the Mexicans used to make.
Is there research, you know, that could back this up and say this new meth that's being manufactured by this P2P method does this to the brain, and this is what we need to do about it?
There is no scientific research on this at all. What I'm giving you is basic street reporting, talking to lots of people across the country who give me the same story. I'm hoping that my reporting will push scientists to say, hey, let's take a look at what is the difference between the meth that used to be made with ephedrine and the stuff that's now being made with all these chemicals.
You mentioned the Mass and Cass area and tent encampments. I've spoken with some providers, and they estimate that about 20% of the people that they do outreach work with in the encampment say that meth is the drug of choice. Not a lot of hard numbers here, but there are reports from many providers that acute psychosis is a problem. But why do people use the drug, and why is there more of it?
the supply and the price are two major reasons why people use it. A lot of folks on the street or folks who are near the street are now trying to avoid fentanyl, and it won't kill you the way fentanyl will. So people move to it that way. It becomes a drug that you use to remove yourself from the fact that you are homeless. It's an amazing thing. I was talking with an emergency room psychiatrist in Columbus, and she said, most of these folks are homeless because of meth, but meth also removes them sufficiently from reality so they're not aware that they're homeless. It takes them to another world. It really does a damage to the memory too, so they can't kind of remember what's gone on. There is no medical treatment for methamphetamine use. You just simply have to be away from the dope. What's behind this is simply what benefits traffickers, what helps them, what gets them more profit, what lowers their risk. All of this is a trafficker motivated drug scourge.
But there's demand as well. Our country seems to have an insatiable demand for drugs.
Yes, it does, but it doesn't have an insatiable demand for the drugs that are now on the street. We created an enormous new body of opioid addicted consumers through the supply provided at the time by doctors prescribing. We did not have this massive new market before that. That supply created demand. We do have drug demand in this country, but this is now a supply story and has been, I think, since the late 90s with the prescription opioids.
In your book, you say it's now cliche to use the term, we can't arrest our way out of this. But you also say we can't treat our way out of this either. So what is the way out based on your reporting on this? Because it sounds so grim.
No, I think it's not grim. I think we have to understand it's a natural feeling to think, oh my God, this is beyond us. But that's because I think we've turned our backs on the most potent force that human beings know, and that is the power of community. We have never turned our backs on that. We always understood as a species how important all that was until, say, the last 30, 40 years in America, where all of a sudden it was like, what do we need to be around other people for? And we left ourselves completely shredded. There is no defense to any of this stuff when you begin to think like that. And so these scourges, I think the pandemic as well, are teaching us that we are better together, that we are only as strong as the most vulnerable. We're only as strong as the least of us.
Sam Quinones is a journalist and author. His latest book is titled The Least of Us, True Tales of America and Hope in the Time of Fentanyl and Meth.